our third lesson this week. Amen. I'm glad for you who have made it out to Sunday school. You know, we need our souls fed just like we need our bodies fed. And if a week or two meals a week, that isn't very good. If you could hold up a spiritual mirror to yourself, your soul would look kind of malnourished. We need to get daily, every day. Man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceedeth from what? The mouth of God. So we need a word every day to keep us spiritually strong. So I'm glad for you, those of you who made it out to Sunday school this morning. I'm grateful that you have listened to the word of God. Amen. Now, we have been talking about walking in the Spirit. And this week, we're covering walking in agreement. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Those of you who are married know that you're not always 100% in agreement. So you know what happens? Someone is going to have to compromise. Well, more than... All right now. All right now. All right now. Hold on 1 minute. You're making Josh run. It's on now.
I think he's used to it, right? No, I do my testimony. I didn't say that. I'm so grateful for a husband.
Most of the time we don't even realize how merciful
to allow
how gracious God has
been. Wants to do through me.
So we have to be in agreement with God. But most times, actually, we're in agreement with somebody else. I like this picture. Who are you agreeing with? Are you in agreement with the donkey? 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Now, we usually apply that to, you know, relationships, but really, I'm talking about things. We shouldn't be in agreement with things that are displeasing to God. "And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Now, that's not speaking of someone who comes into the church who is with an unbeliever, because God takes you as you are. Paul in another scripture says that if the unbelieving spouse is willing to dwell peaceably, you don't have to get rid of them or leave them. It's not speaking about that. It's speaking about after you come to church and after you know the truth, then you should avoid being in agreement. That's the reason why we are not led fully by the Spirit, because we're agreeing with the wrong spirits. We're yoked with the wrong spirits, going in a different direction than God. And as I said, I'm not talking about man-woman relation. I'm talking about anything that we're in agreement with. Maybe we're in agreement with watching the wrong stuff. I'm very guilty of that sometimes. I'm a news junkie, and I'll stay there with the news on, drinking it in, and sometimes it's not good news. And the trouble is, there is power in words. Did you know that? And whatever you listen to can get into your spirit, and you are in agreement with it. You might not be consciously in agreement with it, but because you're letting it come into your soul, you are tacitly giving agreement. Verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Well, I don't have no idols. Well, maybe I do. Maybe the news is my idol. You may say, well, I don't have no idols. I don't burn any candles in front of any statues in my house. I don't have, you know, a picture of the Mother Mary in a corner with candles and stuff. Maybe that's not the kind of idol. But anything that you are unconsciously in agreement with that is taking the place of God takes away from your full unity with God, because the Bible says we are to be in this world, but not of the world. He hasn't said he's going to take us out, But we need to be sanctified. That means set apart. Set apart. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out. Don't be agreeing with this world in anything. Don't be in agreement with this world in anything. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. Here is a reason why our prayers are sometimes not heard. Because we're not in agreement with God's will. We're in agreement with a whole bunch of other stuff. The Bible says that he that wants to fight can't entangle himself in the affairs of this world. We can't, you know, how can I put this? I believe it's okay to vote and that you should, but don't get all entangled in it, because it's not going to solve the world's problems. Only when Jesus sets up his kingdom will the world have peace and justice. Amen? You see, here's a proverb. Proverb 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You hang around with turkeys, you know that turkeys don't really fly, right? There was a comedy series many, many years ago where they decided it was Thanksgiving. They were going to give away free turkeys, and the guy didn't know that turkeys didn't fly. So he took them all up in a helicopter and was going to distribute them. Turkeys do not fly, right? So if you hang around with turkeys, you might lose the ability to fly. If you want to fly, you're going to hang around with eagles, right? So who are you agreeing with? If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you can't agree with everybody. You got to be in agreement with the one that counts, which is Jesus Christ. So to walk in agreement, you're going to have to separate from strife. Genesis 13:7, we have Abraham and his nephew Lot. And it says in Genesis 13:7, there was strife, there was argument, contention between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife. That means if you're around people who are being negative all the time and causing you stress and taking away your joy, you need to separate. Abraham's men and Lot's men were always getting into arguments and fighting. So Abraham said to Lot, you know what? Let's not fight. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself. There's some people you're going to have to separate yourself because they just take away your joy. They just are always negative. They just hang around with people who have got the joy of the Lord. Have you been around some people you would rather not be around? And there are some people, I just admire them. They always seem to have a good spirit. They're always joyful. I don't know how they do it. Amen. Maybe, but those are the kind of people I want to be around. People who are positive. People who are praising God. And so we need to separate ourselves from people who are always being negative. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left. And do you realize that God had not spoken to Abraham for a long while he had Lot? You know why? Because God had told him at the beginning, separate yourself, leave your family, leave Ur of the Chaldees. But you know what Abraham did? He brought his whole, everybody with him. And as I've said before, sometimes you can't take everybody with you because they'll hold you back. God didn't speak to Abraham for quite a long time. It was only after he separated himself from Lot that Abraham and God renewed the covenant. God got back into agreement with Abraham. Because Abraham had been in agreement with Lot. Remember what the first scripture said? Two cannot walk together. He had been in agreement with Lot until they fell out of agreement and God separated them. And then God started to speak to Abraham again. You read it in Genesis, the next chapter after they separated. God renewed his agreement, his covenant with Lot. With Abraham. Jude 1:18 says, How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Sometimes we have to separate even from our kith and kin, so to speak, because they're not saved, and they may want you to do this or that, or, that doesn't mean you don't pray for them or love them. And again, I'm not speaking about unsaved spouses, because the Bible says if they are willing to dwell peaceably, then don't separate. But I'm talking about the fact of sometimes, our former life, we were party hardies. And some of your friends remember that. And so they're always trying to get you back into that scene. You got to do like Abraham. Sorry. I need to be in agreement with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what we got to do. When we start to do that, we have to be able to say, thy will be done. As I said in John 8:28, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Ooh, that's our gold standard, to get to the place where we can say we don't do nothing of self. Now, I can't say that yet, but I'm trying. I'm trying to get to the place where I can say, Lord, I have nothing but your will in my heart. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Wouldn't it be great if we could say that we do nothing of self? Psalms 23, verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. And part of being led by the Spirit is to first humble ourselves, get the mind of Christ, be in agreement with God's will, not with all the other things that we're in agreement with. We have to reject the things that are ungodly. We have to reject them. You see, God's map is shown in 1 John 5:8, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. When we line up with the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and we are in agreement, then we're going to have some power in our prayers. Then we're going to have some victory in our lives. Then we're going to see things start to happen in a miraculous way. Because when we're in agreement with God, it's just like I described the football analogy. If you follow the play, you don't even have to ask. You're going to break through because the blockers are getting rid of, they're making a path for you. But you decide to go on your own way, you know what's going to happen? All them 300-pound people are going to pile up on you. You'll end up on the bottom of a big pile and a concussion at that. That's what we do. Jesus has sent in the play, and we decide to call an audible. For all of you football fans out there. And most time it don't work. It don't work because the coach has already designed it. That's what was practiced, and we decide, well, you know what? I know better. I think I'm going to go this way. Then when we get knocked on the ground and the devil piles upon us, we say, Lord, you're not fair. You're not right. Look what happened to me. God, you're not right. We start to cry and boo-hoo. It's because we have been disobedient. When we're in agreement with God, you know what happens? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That psalm ends up, not only that, he's got my back covered too, because surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. He's got it all covered, even your back, when you follow his teaching, when you follow his way. See, many of us sometimes we get to this way, well, God, what is your will? I don't know what to do. Well, you know what? That's when you seek God, because he has promised that he's going to give us his will. He's going to give us direction. God has promised to lead, therefore his purpose will be made known. I put made no, I did a typo there. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. When you start to not being in agreement with this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, and I've explained how that is by humbling ourselves, so that you will prove what the will of God is. God will start to speak to you, and you will soon know his will. Once you have started to not be conformed, in other words, don't be in agreement with this world, and when you have renewed your mind by humility, then God will start to reveal his will to you so that you may prove what the will of God is. Are you listening? Sometimes we ask God for stuff, but we're not listening to the answer. We already know what we want God to say, so what when he says something different, it just doesn't hit us. It just goes left and right, whoosh, right over the top. The Bible says, be not conformed. That means don't be in agreement with this world, but be transformed. That means by humility, by the renewing of your mind. We went through what those mean. And so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. John 10:26 says, my sheep hear my voice. So if you don't know what God is doing, question I have for you, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Are you a sheep? Because he says the sheep will hear his voice. So do the things to hear his voice. Humble yourself. Do not conform to the... Don't let the world squeeze you into what they want you to be. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Again, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. What a promise. What a promise. If you start following God, if you start doing his will, you cannot, I've said this before, you cannot go before your time. I was on Facebook this morning and I saw a friend and he put something on there. I think I wasn't planning to read it, but I think I will because... let me see if I can find it now. He was telling of an experience he had last night. See if I can find it. He was telling of an experience he had last night. See if I can... I wasn't going to tell it, but I changed my mind. Please, those that know her, please don't mention this to my mom. I went to pick up my sons up this evening, that was yesterday evening, from their friend's birthday party. I noticed as I was getting into my truck, one of my tires was low. After picking them up, I dropped my sons off at home. I decided to run out to the gas station for some air. After arriving, I went into the station to get change for the air machine, then back to my truck to put the air in the tire. I had my radio on playing, whatever you need, it's all in the name of Jesus. That and the noise from the air machine, I really didn't notice where he came from. At that moment, I noticed a shadow from the reflection of the parking lot light walking up behind me. Before I could stand up and turn around to look, a voice said, "Don't you blank move." I could see from the shadow that he had a gun pointed at me. Oh, goodness, I pressed the wrong thing. Let me see if I can get back here. He had a gun pointed at me. I could see from the shadow he had a gun pointed at me. I asked, "Sir, what is it that you want?" He said, "Your blank wallet." I told him that I didn't have my wallet on me. He said, "Give me your money then. I need to get that up off you." One more time. I keep hitting the wrong button here. I really wanted to read this story because it's about how God can keep and protect you even in a difficult situation. Okay, I'm going to get back to it here. So he says, "What is it that you want?" He said, "Your blank wallet." I told him that I didn't have my wallet on me. He said, "Give me your money then. I need to get that up off you. I told him that I had to stand up to get the money out of my pocket. He said, if you try anything, I'm going to blank you up. As I stood up and went to turn around, he said, don't blank play with me. I will shoot you blank now. I said, sir, I'm just handing you the money. I'll keep my right hand in the air and my other one in the pocket to get the money. When I gave him the money, about $10 to $12, he said, pray for me, and ran off. Did he know me? Was it the gospel music playing? What a request. I think what hurt me even more as he looked to be around my son's age, out here with a gun. Does his folks know where he is? What if he had pulled that trigger? My whole life would be gone. What if he had tried to rob someone who was carrying? Then he could have lost his life. The police came and got the video and my statement. The clerk from the store asked me, why would he rob you, then say, pray for me? That's just crazy. I said, because this world is crying out for help. See, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why we have to walk in agreement with God. Because the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. In other words, who are in agreement with God. And many times God is speaking to us, but we're not listening. We're not listening. And it doesn't really matter which part of the city. You could live in a good, you know, supposedly good part of the city. They have robberies there too. They have things happen there too. So we need to be walking in agreement with the Lord, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect will. And sometimes God lets circumstances come into our life to get us to listen, to pay attention, to wake up, Sister Johnny.
I was going to say that God ain't really concerned about you living and not doing his will. So God is really concerned about directing you and ordering your steps. And I say that because when you have the Spirit of God, it's amazing how God speaks to you. I was in McDonald's, and then there was a lot of people in there, and this little young boy comes in with a gun hanging out of his pocket. I mean, he looked just like a little kid, but he got this big old gun hanging out of his pocket. And I noticed that the gun was in his pocket, and immediately the Spirit started to bother me. And I was saying to myself, like, Lord, I know you ain't going to tell me to say nothing to him. And it's just people everywhere, and everybody's just looking at the gun because everybody done noticed that this little boy got a gun. And he's up in McDonald's and dancing and doing all kinds of things with this gun in his pocket. And the Spirit bothered me so bad until I couldn't stand it no more. I said, are you ready to die? He looked at me. He was like, what you say, ma'am? I said, are you ready to die? He said, no, I'm not ready to die. I said, well, why you want to play with a gun? And so then he started to listen because everybody like, this woman actually is speaking to him and he got a gun. So it was like the boldness of the Holy Ghost just had me to speak to him. And I told him, I said, this ain't no time to be playing with no guns. There's so many people running around here dying and shooting and killing people. And I said, here you is up in a public place with a gun in your pocket like it's just a toy. And I began to just speak to this young boy. And he actually began to listen to me. And when I got done speaking to him, he went on and he ordered his food. But I noticed that he got the gun out of his pocket and put it into his book bag where you couldn't see it. And before he left out the door, he came to me and he said, thank you, ma'am, for speaking the word of God to me.
Amen. 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 You know, that took some holy boldness. Amen. We have to learn to walk in agreement with God. And when you're in agreement with God, you can have that holy boldness. Amen. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. I'm glad the Spirit of the Lord, you may have saved that young man's life. You don't know. Because you don't know what incident down the road would have happened with him hanging around with the gun. Somebody else could have mistaken him and they got into a shooting incident, Sister Shanita.
I've been robbed at gunpoint twice before I knew the Lord like I was supposed to. And I remember I remember them making me go from 24th and North Avenue around the corner into the alley. And immediately some said, pray. And I was like, Lord, please spare my life. They may have took my coat in the dead of winter, and they may have took my purse. I didn't care. I had walked to Popeyes to call the police or whatever, but I thank God for protecting me in that situation.
Amen. 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 See, when we're walking in agreement with God, as I said, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. Amen. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit and being in agreement. That means we have to walk in unity. In unity. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the singular for sheep? When you only have one, what do you call it? When you have a flock, what do you call it? But it's a herd of what? So there's no difference between one and a flock. Isn't that interesting? You know what that tells me? There's always a group. They're in unity. Isn't it funny that of all the animals in the Bible, they are mentioned the most? Why? Because of their characteristics. They're always in a group. That's why we don't have a word for one sheep. It's not like a shep. It's a group. It's sheep. So that tells us about something, that we have to learn to walk in unity. John chapter 10, verse 3-4 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name. If you belong to God, he knows your name. And if you will listen, he'll be calling you. He will be calling. God will speak to you. Sometimes we don't see it because we're looking for, you know, the thunder and the lightning and the earth to split open and the flame of fire. Elijah the prophet was looking for God to speak to him in that way, and it wasn't in that way. It was the still, quiet, small voice. But if you are a sheep, God knows your name. And that's why we don't have one word to describe one sheep. It's because there's always in a group. If you see one sheep, there's something wrong. You know why? If you see one sheep by himself, what does that mean? He's gone astray. Do you get it? He's lost. Because sheep are never to be found by themselves. Again, that's why we don't have a word that describes one sheep. It's just sheep. It's always plural. Psalms 23, verse 1, the most probably famous psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that a powerful word? In Genesis 49, Jacob on his deathbed, he said that, the Lord who has been my shepherd my whole life long. Wow. When you can say that, you know what that means? You are a sheep. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. The sheep don't even have to be told. They know the shepherd. And when he starts walking, you know what happens? They just start following him. They just start following him. They don't have, he doesn't have to even say sometimes come, because they see him going with his staff. They start following him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's a sign of trust. When you can say, because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. I have never really wanted in my life. Not really. There's things I want but not need. That's really what it comes down to. There's things I want, but I don't really need them. I can live quite happily without them. I don't have to have the latest Gucci shoes. I was in a hurry this morning. I was in such a hurry this morning that I just grabbed my old work shoes. Don't look at my feet. Huh? I didn't put on my nice shiny shoes. My church shoes. There's lots of things I might want, but there's not much I need. The only thing I need is Jesus. When you can say, like Jacob and on his deathbed, the Lord who has been my shepherd my whole life long, that's a testimony. If the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. Why? He maketh me to lie down, again, submission, in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restores my soul. From time to time, we need some restoration. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not because of where I want to go. Amen? Because of his will. See? And it finally ends up, or the verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes the sheep, we don't want to go in them valleys. They're dark. They're scary. They don't look inviting. But if that's the way the shepherd wants us to go, that's the way we should go. I will fear no evil. Why? My daddy's with me. My daddy's with me. He's big and strong. In fact, Jesus said, anybody who's in his hand, nobody can pluck him out of his hand. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Isn't it interesting? It says the rod comforts. You know, because if you never get the rod, you're not part of the family. I'd be worried if you never get the rod, because it means the Bible says you're a bastard, or you're not cared for. Because the rod means I want you to behave because you're mine. You know, that's walking in agreement, following the shepherd wherever he goes, in whatever direction he takes you. Even though, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David knew about valleys. It is said that he wrote this in the valley. I forgot what's the name of the valley now. It's gone from my mind. But there was a valley where the Philistines were camped when he faced Goliath. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. When we are walking in agreement and led by the Spirit, then we are in unity. Matthew 18:19 says, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I had great examples of this in my parents. I would see them hold hands and point to things. Actually, this church. And that house next door. And they pointed at, hold hands and prayed and pointed at it, and God did it. God, this church, up until we fixed the roof, had no mortgage on it. God did it. And they had less people coming than we've ever had, and yet they were able for 30-something years to keep the doors open and the lights on. God did it. For where two or three are gathered in together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know what that means? God's in the midst of us today. You may not see him, some of you may not feel him, but he's here. Because if we are in here on agreement, in unity, as I said, there's no shep, there's only sheep. You never, if you see one sheep by himself, that sheep's in trouble. Because they're always supposed to be in a group, in unity. That's why the Bible says in the New Testament, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of... That's why people who skip church, they're disobeying the Bible. That's the word. It says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, if you're sick and can't come to church, God knows that. But if there's nothing wrong with you and you just don't feel like it, you're not walking in agreement. You're walking in your own will. That's what the word says, not what I say. That if two of you shall agree, do you see it's repeated twice? Verse 19 and verse 20 are almost the same thing. Again, I say, he says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now we say, well, I've done that and it didn't work. Well, you got to follow all the other things I said. Are you walking in humility? Do you have the mind of Christ? The Bible says in James, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. Don't ask God to kill someone so you can marry their wife. That's not its will. So when it says you can ask and you should receive, you got to still, it's still conditioned on what God wants. You know, if your child wants to go stick his hand in the electric socket, you're going to let him? Please, mommy, I want to see what it feels like. No. The best experience is to learn from someone else's. Because the one time you learn could kill you. Right? You don't want to learn from your own experience. It's best to learn from someone else's. But to do that, you have to be willing to listen. For where two or three are gathered, I'm hurrying together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the other part of being led by the Spirit is sometimes we have to wait. Take your time and hurry up. There was a bus driver, bus conductor, used to say that when we were getting on the bus, he'd say, take your time and hurry up. Sometimes being led by the Spirit is sit right there. Just wait. Ooh, that's hard. A lot of us want to see some action. Lord, do it now, fast. I need it right now. Go send to Jesus. Lazarus is dying. Didn't you send him? We did, but he still hasn't come. But he's on his deathbed. Well, come on now, Jesus, you got to come. That's all of us. That's me. I tell you, when something is dying and we get desperate, we want Jesus to show up right now. But being led by the Spirit sometimes is waiting, and that's so hard. That takes another level of faith. Because then Lazarus dies, of course, and then Jesus shows up. Martha says, "If Lord, if you had only been here, Jesus, now you come." But you know what? Even now, it's never too late for God. Wait on God for his presence. You got to wait for his strength. Wait for his provision. Wait for his direction. Wait for his time. God does everything in his own perfect time. Do you know that? Matthew chapter 2. Now, when the fullness of time had come, God has a fullness of time, a perfect timing for your life. Then God sent the angel Gabriel. Finally, after thousands of years, hundreds of years waiting for this Messiah, then the word came. Same thing with the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. When the fullness of time was come, they were gathered together in the upper room in one accord. Then there came a sound. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry. That means wait. Ooh, I hate waiting. Wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit, but there's other things that God tells us to do where we have to wait. And the Bible says, I waited patiently upon the Lord. Sometimes, you know my story with my mortgage situation. I waited 16 months. And I didn't understand what God was doing till near the end. And I realized, wow, if you had answered my prayer at the beginning, I'd still be in trouble now. But God has a perfect plan. To be led by the Spirit, sometimes you wait. And if you will wait, there'll come a day when you will understand and you'll be so joyful and you'll say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I didn't do this then. I'm so glad I waited. But sometimes we move in haste. Abraham moved in haste. Sarah moved in haste. We're waiting for this child you've promised us and you haven't given us the child. So I tell you what, let's do some surrogate motherhood here. Why don't you go and sleep with my handmaid? And you see all the trouble that caused down history. Even Abraham, Sarah, didn't wait. And so They got a son, but it wasn't the son they were supposed to have. Nearly every car I bought for my daughter has been a lemon. And sometimes she don't want to wait. She sees something, but this is it. You know, and sometimes they just wear you down. Those of you with children, you'll find out if you haven't yet. But sometimes when the parent says yes, it's not the best. Because sometimes we only learn through our negative experience. So if we keep pestering God, sometimes he'll give a conditional, okay. That happened with Balaam. He told Balaam, don't go, you can't go curse Israel. Balaam kept on going back to God and said, but you know, can I just, finally God said, okay, go. But it didn't work out good for Balaam. We have to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Psalms 135, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word I do hope. That's what we have to do. Here's a very famous passage, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm hurrying. I'm going to finish right now. If you could stand with me. We have to be on one accord. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Bible describes unity this way. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Aaron, when he was being consecrated, they made this extremely expensive ointment and would pour it upon his head. The Bible describes unity that way. It says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his. Unity can cover. Describes it as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, the Lord commanded the blessing. When we're in unity, when we're in one accord, the Bible says the Lord will command the blessing. When this church gets on one accord, when we're in unity, God will command the blessing. Command the blessing. Isn't that awesome? He will command the blessing. There would be no stopping us. Just like on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord, and then there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind and filled all the house. My own personal view is it filled more than the house. I think it blew away all the demons for miles around. I think it just locked them all up for about 50 miles around Jerusalem. I think all the demons had to go. Amen. When we're in unity, when we are with one accord and one agreement and asking God for deliverance and blessing, he's going to be there. Ecclesiastes is the last scripture. Ecclesiastes 4:13. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What that's saying is when I'm down, you're going to call me and pray for me and say, Pastor, God is still not finished with you yet. When you're down, I'm going to text you and say, hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. See, that's why it says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When they're making ropes, they don't just make it of one piece, but they take several strands. And when they bind it together, that's much more powerful than a single strand. When we come together, we encourage one another. When we lift one another, and when I say I'm praying for you and you're praying for me, when I hear your testimony of deliverance, it encourages me. See, when we're being led by the Spirit, we're going to be truly on one accord. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Lord, help us, oh God, that it be fulfilled in our midst, in our minds, in our souls, Lord, that we will love one another, that we will have one desire to serve.